Energy is evolving. New technology and the shift towards low carbon are changing the way businesses can function. To help make sense of this changing energy landscape, some of those at the heart of the conversation speak to the Future of Business Energy podcast from Npower Business Solutions Energy HQ. I'm Juliana Needham. In this series, you'll hear the latest views, ideas, and insights from leading experts and influencers. In this episode, we discuss how to solve the behavioural change challenge. The UK is relatively energy efficient compared to other countries and has performed strongly in improving efficiency within households. But for businesses, improvements have been slower. So how can businesses help encourage behavioural change? What strategies work and what technologies are available? We'll hear some examples of how organisations have successfully overcome challenges to improve their energy efficiency. I spoke to Lowry Evans, carbon psychologist for Npower Business Solutions Energy HQ, Lara Young, Group Carbon Manager for Costain Group, and Paul Crewe, Executive Director of Anthesis Group. Welcome and thank you for coming. To begin with, why is it so important to embed carbon psychology in staff behaviour?
So I think the technology around driving energy efficiency and embedding that within organisations existed for a number of years now. But actually to sustain that, it requires people and to adopt a certain behaviour and reinforce it so that it becomes part of our daily lives at work and at home to genuinely get that transition implemented.
For me, very simple. People are absolutely paramount. We're surrounded by data, systems and information. However, it's us as individuals, as people, whether it's at home or in our businesses, in our operations, whether you're on the board or whether you're physically in the operation of the business, the influence that you can have on the operations within your organisation should never be underestimated. So people are paramount.
So embedding carbon psychology into staff behaviour not only brings them along with you on the journey that the business is on in terms of energy efficiency, but can also maximise that return on investment by using targeted interventions that get down to the core of what people are doing and why they're doing it.
Can you talk us through some of the steps that a business can make to promote behavioural change?
Absolutely. So I think initially it must start with raising awareness. And I think that once you can increase awareness of energy efficiency and then connect people with wanting to get involved, give them the knowledge, give them the ability, and then reinforce that their behaviour has had an impact, for me, that's a very phased step change approach.
So for me, it's making it relatable, keeping it simple, making it so that it's personalised, so that everyone understands why they're doing it, whether that's because they think they're saving the planet, reducing energy, financial drive. It's got to be understandable and personalised for the individual.
And how can you go about introducing that when with a business with lots of individuals with different outlooks?
I think it's keeping the topic simple. So we can have a data overload. There's more data than we know what to do with regards to energy efficiency and energy management. But really pinpointing actually what is driving certain behaviours. So what do we actually need to focus on that will enable those changes, and how do we communicate that simply, but also communicating that on different levels in terms of all the co-benefits, so from an environmental, a social and a financial, for example.
And for me, it's keeping things extremely factual. Avoid greenwashing at every single opportunity. Never hoodwink and be clear, concise. Translate what you want to share in a fantastic storytelling methodology. And for me, one of the best ways to communicate is to throw away, it's my personal opinion, throw away those posters and those stickers that ram things down people's throats and think about ways of communicating through people and through the art of visualization and being able to use media as we're doing today, a very simple video shot of me talking from an iPhone that's really clear on those stories can be translated and zapped out across the company in seconds. And that can be then used to be able to cascade for the communities. And it really does work.
Absolutely. I think one of, as Paul suggested, one of the easiest things a business can do is to make that energy consumption visible. Because unlike, say, waste product or waste paper, wasted energy isn't something that you can see. You don't know that it's being wasted. And I think by demonstrating how much energy could be wasted by doing certain things, staff can really connect to that because they don't want to misbehave allegedly in the workplace. They want to do the right thing. And I think, yeah, by making it visible, we can really connect with them.
And how do you make it visible?
So that could be anything from reporting, so just standard reporting, to running things like toolbox talks to engage with staff, or things like live dashboards with energy data displayed on them to show how much the energy data is going up and down during that shift.
So yeah, 100% agree with that as well. And then from my perspective, it's demystifying the topic. So someone can, as rightly said, that energy savings is very difficult to see. It's an invisible thing. Actually, can you put that into terms that everyone can relate to, whether that's pound signs, whether that's, less times with doors open, something that people can relate to. I think one of the easiest ways to drive that and embed that within teams is actually to give them ownership of it as well. So as regardless of where they sit within the organisation, if you're responsible and there is an incentive in some way, shape or form, whether that's for a team or being on league dashboards between different departments, it becomes a bit of a game and a competition as well. And it gets other people involved. One of the other easiest ways, I think, of driving this within organisations is actually asking the individuals where they see the efficiencies. But to be able to engage with that and generate those ideas, it has to be asked in quite a simple manner, actually. What wouldn't you do at home that you would do at work?
And are there any particular sectors that are more likely to benefit from energy-saving behavioural change than others? Are there some that have already embraced it and others that are behind? There are obviously more energy-intensive industries.
I think from my point of view, no one should get off lightly. And every single sector, whatever your business is, whatever country you're in, you will be using energy. And complacency should not be a word that should be on anybody's lips at all. And if you're great, you should be even greater. You know, standing still or not even, you know, stepping up to the mark is really not great. So I would implore everybody of every single sector to really grab hold of this. If you've already grabbed hold of it, grab hold of it even tighter.
Laura?
I think there's huge opportunities in a number of different sectors. So if I take the infrastructure and the engineering construction sector, within manufacturing, for example, if the process is repeated, it's easier to identify where you've got opportunities. Actually, if you're one day engineering a bridge and the next day it's building a railway station, the next day it's a water network, it's very difficult to identify the trends because no projects are comparable or no infrastructure is comparable. However, there's huge opportunities within technology embedding that, whether it's hybrid generators or battery storage technology into what we currently use as assets, as an example.
And is that part of your role within Costain to go and see these different projects and see how they can improve?
Yeah, it's identifying opportunities within all sorts. So it can be looking at changing the design completely or looking into alternative materials or simply reviewing or asking the question, actually, is this necessarily, whether it's not over-engineered or actually is this suitable for what the requirement is in terms of it can be around whole life costing, whole life cycle analysis. It is very dependent on what the project's looking into, but yeah, identifying opportunities.
So we've identified that the biggest opportunity is actually in wholesale and retail. And I think that that opportunity stems from the fact that management of energy is often held by a central person who has little control over when, where and how that energy is used, especially in a multi-site portfolio. And that is incredibly challenging. And so engaging staff in behavioural change is fundamental if they want to have effective energy management across all those sites. The second one is also manufacturing, because that's an area that's seen heavy investment in technology and energy efficiency and resource efficiency, but not so much on the behavioural side. It is quite challenging to engage somebody in an employee engagement campaign, for example, at a manufacturing site. And so that is something I'm quite passionate about.
And how do you go about doing that?
Engaging somebody in a manufacturing site. So for me, it's identifying why they currently behave in the way that they do, because there's always a reason. I think people aren't doing these things because it's easier or because they want to misbehave and consume more energy. I think that people behave in that way because that's all that they know. I've been working with a customer recently who had put on all these fantastic new standard operating procedures on their production lines. And they've employed the same staff on these lines for 30 years. And they didn't know that 10 of them couldn't actually read. And so they hadn't read the new standard operating procedures. So I think it comes down again to finding out why people are behaving the way that they are and then finding out the best way to help them.
As behavioural change has historically been hard to quantify, how can you overcome the challenges of securing corporate investment on something that's hard to demonstrate with tangible proof of benefit?
So from my perspective, it's building that business case which integrates all the co-benefits. So not just saying about the energy reduction or only talking about the cost savings, but actually the additional pieces, whether that's decarbonisation, reduction in air pollution. If it's a reduction in logistics, that's taking HGVs off road network, so benefits for the local community. It's really painting that bigger picture, actually. This has a knock-on effect in a huge amount of networks. And being able to articulate that and having it all on one page, people then choose what resonates most with them. But if you've got everything on the same page, at least everyone can relate to one thing in there.
Yeah, and you know, I've had the privilege to lead the highest returning investment ever made in Sainsbury's, and it was in sustainability, and that's over 150 years. And that happened to be, you know, a multitude of investments in capital to reduce lighting loads through LED through to producing PV cells. But an intrinsic part of that highest returning investment was behaviour change. And there was a programme called the UK's Greenest Grocer. I wanted, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, Sainsbury's was the greenest grocer in the UK. But that was absolutely 100% focused around behaviour change and engaging with everybody from the board to every individual in the organisation. And so much so that, you know, the sort of the return on investment that that behaviour change campaign created on energy alone was in excess of 500% return on investment, which is enormous. Mm. And actually, if you take it into physical terms, so we actually helped to reduce the energy consumption within those stores by around 5%.
One of the main things that I found from going in to speak to various businesses and different sectors is they say, okay, that's all great, but how much is this going to save me? I'm outlaying all of this investment. What are you going to give me in return? What I would say to them is that usually you have some sort of energy data available and you know what the metrics are that are affecting that. If you're a retail customer, this is things like footfall, operational hours, external factors that are affecting your heating and cooling systems. And by factoring these into an analytical model, we can see the discrepancy between how much energy is being used and the factors that are affecting it. There's always going to be a bit of a discrepancy because there's no perfect energy model. But by looking at that data, we can see how much of that is affected by human behaviour, and we can quantify the scope of what can be achieved.
Could you all give examples of businesses that have introduced energy-saving behavioural changes and what impact that's had on the organisation, particularly any businesses that have had some major challenges to overcome?
Yeah, so Npower have been working with a large industrial manufacturer to implement behaviour change in one of their sites. So through using carbon psychology to identify what the key drivers to behavioural change were, we were able to identify some key weaknesses in their operational procedures. And through remedying that, through a system of increasing feedback and perceived behavioural control, which is how much control we feel we have over our own behaviour, we were able to help them achieve savings of over £500,000.
So for me, Sainsbury's, a fantastic example of massive consumer of electricity in the UK. 1% of the UK's power goes through Sainsbury's. And understanding that, as well as the capital investments that were required to really either create their energy and reduce energy, ultimately, over 200,000 colleagues are an enormous power, not to be underestimated. And by really connecting and getting those individuals in every part of the organisation to understand the small part that they can play in this big cog of energy consumption, paid enormous dividends and, you know, contributed to one of the highest returning investments ever made in Sainsbury's.
And Laura, can you talk us through some of the changes you've introduced at Costain?
Yeah. So Costain, we currently have a behavioural management programme, which was originally focusing on safety, but actually the scope's widened completely. So, and we've used the methods and the behavioural management to drive change around the whole topic of resource efficiency, so widening out to not just energy management. And what we've created is a very simple, so because we're all humans, very much we're driven by the simplicity and the efficiency of actually everyone can see the relatable outcome. If it's too complex, the engagement to buy that in across a whole organisation, I think it's very difficult. And we created what is a matrix, so it's a maturity matrix based on bronze, silver, gold, and essentially focusing on the six top elements that everyone within the business can impact on. So whether you were the CEO or one of the operatives on a project, you're still able to implement or make a change which can be tangibly demonstrated and quantified around savings, air pollution, carbon, energy. And we've rolled that out across the business. And one of the key outcomes of the matrix is actually recognising the individuals or the team. And that's proven to be substantially greater in driving that change. So actually teams being able to showcase and winning awards around this type of thing's been the biggest driver around that.
So incentivising them in effect?
Yeah, incentivising and the recognition. And then also providing them with the platform to roll with their own ideas. Because once you get them going, all of a sudden actually there's a whole ream of opportunities that arise. And so, but giving them that freedom to be able to trial and error some opportunities, really.
Yeah, and on that point around rewarding, one of the things that I found is that us human beings, we're very competitive. And the minute you introduce a league table or you introduce a goal or a hurdle that to pass to win at recognition is really important. So I've been around quite a number of behaviour change programmes where that has been introduced and it's been highly successful. And that can be from as simple as having a weekly or a monthly spreadsheet, but I've also seen right way through to use of gamification and apps, which really do, not just the millennials, you know, I'm not a millennial by a mile, but, you know, and I loved it, you know, the ability to be engaged in a medium that is slightly different than just a sometimes boring Excel spreadsheet.
And that leads perfectly onto my next question. Paul, you mentioned gamification. What other new techniques and innovations are you seeing in the carbon psychology space?
So gamification for me, it's something, it's been around for a while, but actually bring it into the workplace. And where I've found, I've been really excited by gamification myself, is where it can connect your activities at home with the activities in the workplace. And they come together and, you know, I've seen them be very successful around, some of them have had a prize at the end of the day, but I've also seen other examples where there's no physical monetary prize. It's pride. And it's that competitive mode that us as human beings have.
And Laura, are there any new techniques that you're introducing in Costain?
From my perspective, there's a few different things with regards to the language and how we communicate it, actually keeping it really simple. So carbon management or energy management is not always relatable, so let's call it something that is. Another one is around a huge amount of engagement around STEM, so science and engineering, mathematics and technology within different sectors, whether that's school, children, college, but actually raising awareness within younger audiences so that it goes back home and then actually feeds up indirectly through the workforce. Which, interesting, we recently for World Environment Day ran a campaign all around air quality and energy management and resource efficiency. And the amount of stories we had about people actually being educated by their children of, I don't know, I think there was one gentleman, his daughter was refusing to buy clothes to compete in the fashion industry. And all of a sudden that was like, thought it was revolutionary. So it's engaging on all sorts of different levels, not just on the workforce, but in their lives as outside of work as well.
Absolutely. And I think for businesses as well, the increasing accessibility of live data in so many different ways, like plug and play systems for submetering, is really opening up a new level of engagement for staff. Now they can see in manufacturing, as an example, they can see things happening in real time where they couldn't before. And I think that's really powerful for energy management.
Looking at the difference between households and businesses, there's been a big improvement in the efficiency of households, but businesses are lagging behind. What does this tell us? Does it mean that people only really care when they've got to foot the bill themselves?
I think household and business settings create very different environments for behaviour change. I mean, at home, we really feel the cost of energy on a personal level as it leaves our bank account, but at work, it's not very visible, it's not very tangible for us. And also, even if we were told that information, what would we do with it? I mean, I wouldn't know what to do with information on the specific energy consumption of this building, for example, because there's no system in place to support that new activity. And also at work, we don't always have control over our own environment, whereas we do at home, it's really up to you what you do at home. And I think that makes it so much easier to engage in energy efficient behaviour. You can sit by candlelight at home, but you can't really do it at work. It's not that acceptable.
I think the difference between home and work is actually making it real at work. So yeah, at home we have full control. However, at work we might not necessarily be perceived that we can voice up an idea. So actually, if we create the environment and an atmosphere where you feel, actually, I can give this a shot, or suggest an idea, knowing that there's not going to be a thrown out the water just because it might be a bit crazy or something like that, being able to provide that, but also giving the ownership of it.
How does the UK compare to other countries when it comes to behavioural change measures?
I think behavioural change is something that has been embedded in certain amounts of organisations within the UK, and there is an awareness within the UK around the opportunities, and there has been for a while. However, I think it's all around the communication piece. So linking up industries that don't necessarily communicate that much or aren't necessarily related on an organisational level, but however the technologies they implement could by all means be transposed. So I think there's an awareness around this. However, there's still a huge opportunity to learn a lot more from within our own organisations in the UK, but also internationally. So the communication piece for me is the vital element of recognising and demonstrating the opportunities that represents.
Absolutely. I think the UK on the whole is generally an energy efficient country, but I think now we're in a bit of a perfect storm with the zero net carbon by 2050 targets, that increasing pressure from the public to focus on climate change and reducing carbon, and the new legislation that's driving energy efficiency. And so I think that whilst we've come a long way, I think there's still a really long way to go.
Lowry, Lara and Paul, thank you. That was Lowry Evans, Lara Young and Paul Crew speaking to me, Juliana Needham, for the Future of Business Energy podcast from Npower Business Solutions Energy HQ. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Join in the conversation on social media using the hashtag Future Business Energy.